Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you here this morning. This is Sunday, May the 16th, 2021, lockdown number 3, Sunday number 4. And we will have two more lockdown Sundays to look forward to in light of the extension of lockdown by the Premier to June the 2nd. But I'm glad that we can have this opportunity anyways to worship the Lord and to have service and sermon. I'm going to invite you that are here to turn in your hymn book to 625. It's the doxology. Maybe you don't need the words, but we're going to stand together and we're going to sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this Sunday, another opportunity for us to come into your presence, to worship you, to hear your word, and to allow the Spirit of God to work in us and make those changes that would make us more Christ-like in our life and living. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your watch care over each and every one of us, all who are part of Berean in these days. We give you thanks for your provisions for us as a church family as well. And while we're not able to be together in service, I do thank you that we have this means of technology for putting a service together online, and that folks might be able to hear it and worship along with us here this morning. I just pray that you will bless in our time together, that you would move through your words, through the songs, through all that we do today. We just ask that it will bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity to worship. We trust that it will be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And turn in your hymn book to number 500. And we're just going to sing verse 1, 3, and 5 of Wonderful Peace. 1, 3, and 5. It goes something like this. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and his glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. And the last. Oh, my soul, are you here without comfort or rest? marching down the rough pathway of time. Make the Savior your friend when the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace so sublime. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Good singing. Thank you very much for that. We will have some special music in just a few moments. Let me invite you to take your Bibles now and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read through the first 13 verses. You can follow along as I do that. Philippians 4, verse 1 down through verse 13. The Apostle Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pens these words: Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we'll ask the Lord to bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. We brought in some special music for you this morning, and this is the Smucker family. I've never heard of them before, but found them on YouTube, and we're going to listen to them. Perhaps you would like to sing along with them. 494 in your hymn book are the words to Like a River Glorious, and we're going to enjoy this song just now.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it flows. hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of His blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do.
Thank you, Smucker family, for that excellent presentation. Announcements are in the bulletin, and the bulletin is now posted online on the church website. You can check that out through the day. If you're interested in giving tithes and offerings, we have the usual matter, as we've been doing for the last number of weeks, so you can take care of that this week. Just want to let you know that Judy Prout, in her words, said that she got run over by a walker, and last week she went to get x-rays, and she has 4 broken ribs as a result of that, plus a few scrapes and bruises. So we want you to be in prayer for Judy, that she will heal up properly and nicely after her accident, which was a couple of weeks ago. Also, you probably have heard that the lockdowns have been extended to, in Premier Ford's words, at least June the 2nd. So we were expecting to be back together in church next week, next Sunday, but that's going to have to be put off for a couple more weeks. The first Sunday that we'll be able to be back together now will be June the 6th. And so circle your calendars for that date, and we'll look forward to being back together here. Don't forget, our missionary of the month is Jacques and Jeanette Brindamore over in Quebec. And keep those folks in your prayers in the church as well. Today's message is simply entitled Peace, and going to go through a lot of scriptures. So I thought that it might be helpful for you if you're not writing notes down, and there's so many of them. I put a list of the scriptures in a PDF, and I posted it to our church website. So you can have that open or print it off or whatever, and just have those references available for you. It's on the church website under the books and articles link. You just have to click that and find scripture references for peace there. So I thought that might also be helpful for you. And also just to know that Dr. Claussen had been out to give his car a run the other week and got a little lightheaded and took a tumble out in the parking lot. And so he's a little bit scraped up as well and healing from those. And we also learned that Norma Moravsek, thank you, also took a tumble while she was out at a doctor's appointment and fell as well on her face and scraped some things up. So keep these folks in prayer. I mean, we don't have even have any ice and snow around anymore, but tumbles are easily taken. So just keep our senior folks in prayer, if you would. Let's just take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for, again, your goodness to us, your watchful care over us each and every day. And we thank you once again for your provisions for us as a local church. We want to pray this morning for our missionaries of the month. We think of Jacques and Jeanette and the church that they have planted there in Quebec, and ask that in Terrebonne, Quebec, and ask, Lord, that you would undertake for them in these days. We know that they're in the same situation as us with lockdowns, but we pray that as they're able to make contact with their folks and communicate with them and have service, perhaps online as well, that you would just bless them and encourage their heart in these days. We pray financially that you would provide for them as well. And thank you for Jacques' heart's desire to serve you in this way in planting this church. We pray that you would undertake for them in the days ahead. We think of the lockdown that we are currently in, which has been extended again. And I pray, Father, that whether we agree with the whole thing or not, that we might be mindful that you are in control, that these things do not take place apart from your will and your permission, and that in your time we will be indeed be back together here in our church. I pray for each one who's a part of Berean that you will keep us steady and strong. May our faith in you be strong as well, and our trust in you steady and secure. And help us, Lord, to look forward to that Sunday. We hope, Lord willing, June the 6th will be our Sunday back together, that we'll just anticipate that day with great joy and expectation. It'll be first Sunday of the month, Communion Sunday, fellowship around the Lord's table, and we trust that we'll be able to have that, and that there will be a complete relaxing of restrictions for church attendance come that Sunday. In the meantime, we just pray that you would help us to trust you, be joyful. We're supposed to rejoice in everything, be thankful in everything. I pray, Lord, you would help us to be that kind of believer in the Lord Jesus. And today we also pray for Judy, as she has these broken ribs through the accident that she has had a couple weeks ago. We pray that those ribs will knit properly, knit back together, that she will be healing up from scrapes and bruises, that you would just encourage her heart as she takes this recovery at home, and that you would be pleased to give her good health once again. We also pray for Dr. Clausen and the recent fall that he had out in his parking lot. We thank you that no other damage than just some scrapes and bruises occurred. Thank you that there was no damage internally. And we just pray for him as he recovers as well from the scrapes. And then for Norma, as she took that tumble at the doctor's office as well, outside on the concrete stairs. We were sorry to hear that and want to pray for her as well, that you would be with her, help her to heal in with her injuries and be back to full health and strength again in due time. Thank you that she was able to be out to get to her doctor's appointment, but we just pray now that you would help her and strengthen her and heal up all of those things that need healing in her life and body. We know, Father, that there are many others in our church family that are struggling with health issues. We want to be mindful of them this morning. You are aware of their situation. We ask simply that you would do that which is your will to do in each and every case, and that your name might be glorified above all things. We thank you for your provisions for us as a church family through the tithes and offerings that your people give to you through this church. And thank you, Lord, for an excellent offering last week. And we know, Lord, that you will provide. You have provided for us these 25 years. And now with the mortgage finished, we just want to give you praise and glory and thanks for that provision, to see that particular project completed. And we look forward to the days ahead and how you will continue to look after us and watch out for us. Help us to be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus, to stand strong in your word, to be contenders of the faith, as you have instructed in Jude 3. And Father, we just desire above all things that you would be pleased with that which we offer to you by way of worship, by way of thanks and prayer, by way of service. And indeed, we would ask that your name be glorified through us even this day. We ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, time for our prayer chorus. I think the words are still in the bulletin. Yep, inside on the down at the bottom, it will be worth it all. Let's sing our prayer chorus just before the message this morning. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Thank you. Good singing today. Our topic for our Bible study this morning is simply peace. Peace. That's P-E-A-C-E, not P-I-E-C-E. We want to talk about peace. The Bible has much to say about peace. And I would think that if this old world would only listen to the Bible and heed God's word, we would have more peace in this world than we currently do. Our world today is so full of chaos, distress, tumult, war. People are so easily offended and want their compensation and will battle to get it. There are others who are persecuted in around this world. They have no peace. The conflict between Israel and Hamas in Gaza, even today, is devastating and terrible. Hamas fired over 2,000 rockets into Israel, reaching to Tel Aviv and even into Jerusalem over the last, 3 or 4 days. And now Israel is striking back at that, trying to dismantle all of their infrastructure in the Gaza. And war is really at hand. This old world is just fraught with anger and contention, rage and unrest. Is there anything that we can do to cultivate peace in our lives and in this world? Well, let's take a look at what God's word teaches us concerning peace. The Greek word translated peace is irene, irene. You perhaps have heard of an irenic spirit. That's a peaceful spirit, irene. It's found 91 times in the New Testament. It has the ideas of tranquility, concord, unity. And when used as a greeting, as Paul does in almost every one of his letters, where grace, peace, and mercy are part of his greeting, then the term peace has the sense of goodwill and blessing. Goodwill and blessing. So it's not only the inner sense of tranquility or between people, tranquility and unity and concord, but it's also a positive action for goodwill and blessing as well. The Hebrew word is, do you know, for peace? Shalom, that's correct. It's shalom. And shalom is found 223 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. 172 of them are translated peace in our English Bible. And shalom has the sense of safety, favor, rest, prosperity, and even the word happy is a part of shalom greeting. Safety, favor, rest, prosperity, and happiness. It's a great word, isn't it? Peace, even shalom and irene carry with it a sense of what the word really seeks to convey and to communicate of tranquility, unity, favor, rest, goodwill and blessing and happiness. It's a great word. I think we should try and use it as often as we can when we're talking to ourselves or when we're talking to others to seek peace. So we're going to take a look at a number of scriptures this morning around certain topic, around certain themes and aspects, and I trust you'll be able to follow along as we do so. First thing is, it's very important to note that peace is associated with the triune God in the scriptures. Peace is associated with the triune God in the scriptures. First of all, we read in the Bible that God is a God of peace. Five times in the New Testament, we read the God of peace. And here are the references and the verses. In Romans 15, verse 33, we read, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." That's a benediction from Paul at the coming towards the conclusion of the book of Romans. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. And amen means so be it. And that is a heart's desire and cry that God's peace, the God of peace, would be with them. And then Romans 16:20, which is the last chapter in the book of Romans, says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." So here, the God of peace is going to bruise Satan under the feet of the believers there in Rome. And, of course, we don't have time to exegete all of that. It means just to show you a reference to the God of peace and what he will do. In Philippians 4, verse 9, a verse that we read earlier, we read, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Not just peace, but the God of peace, his presence will be with you as we follow along after the things that Paul has taught. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is the fourth reference. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then the fifth reference for the God of peace is Hebrews 13:20-21. Hebrews 13:20-21, which says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So those five references refer to the God of peace. And that obviously is one of the attributes of Almighty God, is that he is a God of peace. Lots of people in the world today think that God in the Old Testament is just a big bully, that he's mean and he's nasty, and whereas Jesus in the New Testament is loving, kind, and so on. But God, being the God of peace, desires to have that within his fallen creation, and he will do what is necessary to bring about peace for all. And sometimes that means chastisement and judgment must come to bear. So the God of all peace. Also, we read about Jesus Christ, second person of the Trinity. He is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9, verse 6, a reference to the coming Messiah in Isaiah's day. We know that that is the Lord Jesus himself. Isaiah 9, 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit himself is also associated with peace in Ephesians 4, verse 3, where Paul writes, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Right? The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we understand that peace is associated with the triune God in the Scriptures, both Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, secondly, I would say to you this morning that peace can be studied in two aspects. After we acknowledge that peace is associated with the triune God, we can study peace in two aspects. Number one, peace is the outcome of reconciliation. Peace is the outcome of reconciliation. And secondly, peace is the outworking of restfulness. It's the outworking of restfulness. So what do we mean by these? Let's dig a little deeper. Number one, the peace that comes from reconciliation. Reconciliation is what comes when a sinner acknowledges the holiness of God and his own sinfulness, and then believes the gospel of Jesus Christ concerning Christ's death for his sin, Christ's burial, his resurrection from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures, and then believing calls on the name of the Lord, and by faith receives Christ into his heart and life. Reconciliation with God is salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and sanctification by the Holy Spirit. The triune God is involved in our reconciliation. All of these terms describe the same event, and all of them result in peace with God. Peace with God. That is, we are no longer at enmity against God. We have a peace treaty with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21 tells us, we are reconciled to God because of what Christ has done and our faith and trust in him. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21 is that reference. So here's a few others that help to confirm this truth, that peace is the outcome of reconciliation. In Acts 10, verse 36, it says, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." He is Lord of all. Right? So in that great sermon in Acts chapter 10, that when Christ is preached, they are preaching peace by Christ, and that peace would be the peace of reconciliation with God. In Romans 5, verse 1, great verse that you probably have memorized, and if you haven't, it would be a good one to commit to memory. "Therefore, being justified by faith," what do we have? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can also read in chapter 5, verse 6 down through 11 to help confirmed that truth as well. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 8, verses 5 to 10, Paul writes, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." But because we have the verse goes on. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." End of the verse. And that is to be spiritually minded is to have life and peace. That is peace of reconciliation. Just a couple more. Romans 10, verse 15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So even the gospel message of Christ's death on the cross for our sins, according to the scriptures, his death, burial, and resurrection from the dead on the third day, is a gospel of peace. That is telling us how we can have peace with God, reconciliation. And of course that comes by calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. Ephesians 6, verse 15, again talks about the gospel of peace. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." That's part of the armor that we have been given by God himself to help us in our service for him. And then last one is Colossians 1, verse 20. A wonderful verse. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross," that is Christ's cross, "by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Right? We have peace through the blood of his cross, Christ's death for us. What a wonderful peace has been purchased for us by our Savior. It is an eternal peace between us and God. There is no more sin to separate us from God because Jesus Christ has taken away our sins when he died on Calvary's cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And as believers in Christ, enmity between us and God has been removed for how long? Forever. Forever. And so we have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished for us on the cross. That is our reconciliation. And that, it seems to me, is one of the things needful in our world today, is people to be reconciled to God by faith in Jesus Christ. And until that goes on out there, we will still be in a state of enmity between one another, between nations, between lost men and God. We need to have this peace of reconciliation. It's been provided, and we pray that people would accept it. And so peace for this world, it would seem to me, requires peace with God, first of all. But now, let's think about the peace that comes from the outworking of our reconciliation. But now, the fruit of the Spirit, which is, remember the nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, right? Peace from the fruit of the Spirit, this has to do with the other aspect of peace, and that is the peace of restfulness. The peace of restfulness. Realize that the peace of reconciliation has already been put into effect when the Holy Spirit indwelt the body and life of the one who receives Christ by faith. That part of the peace is already completed. Our faith's in Christ, we don't have to worry about that anymore. That is complete in Christ, that peace. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is to be expressed and displayed to show that we are submitted and yielded to the Holy Spirit in us as believers. And that is the evidence of peace in your life and mine as well. So this has to do with a peaceable spirit and an attitude and an outlook on life. It has to do with peace in your heart as well as peace between you and others. So there's a number of excellent references in the scriptures to this particular thought. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 13. It says, Paul says, to esteem them, and in the context, them is your pastors, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. When the congregation is at peace amongst themselves, pastor's job is so much more delightful and a blessing. So be at peace among yourselves. Referencing the local church congregation. Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. You'll notice that Paul doesn't say that we're to go after things that are going to upset people. We're not to do those things that are going to say, hey, I'm right and you're wrong. Rather, we are to do those things, follow after those things, which make for peace between everybody and things wherewith one may edify another. The word edify means to build up, to strengthen. And so we want to be involved in those kinds of things that make for peace and edification. Doesn't mean that we're going to compromise on the truth or our doctrines or anything like that, but we will engage others peacefully so that they might be edified according to the truth of God's word. 1 Corinthians 14:33, another verse that you may be familiar with. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints. So here, confusion is the opposite of peace. And I've seen some church services that look pretty confusing. Didn't seem to be a whole lot of peaceful worship and praise in that place, but rather tumult and noise. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. And we want him to be the one to direct us in our worship and our times together for peace. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Right? He's writing to Corinthians, the Corinthian church. There was a bit of turmoil in the Corinthian church. And so Paul encourages them, exhorts them to live in peace. And that is associated with being perfect, of good comfort or encouragement, of one mind, and live in peace. The God of love and peace shall be with you. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world around us, whether we like the things, believe in them, accept them or not, we can still live in peace when we trust the Lord, when we are of an encouraging spirit and one mind. We know the God of love and peace will be with us as we seek to live in peace. Hebrews 12, verse 14. The Apostle Paul, I believe, wrote the book of Hebrews. In 12:14, he says, follow peace with all men. and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with just the people you love, just your neighbor, just your family. No, he says follow peace with all men. And that includes governing leaders, other churches that don't exactly stand where we do doctrinal-wise. We are to follow peace with all men and holiness as well. The two seem to go together. In Romans 12, verse 18, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth in you. Right? Which is a pretty interesting caveat here. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Because I suspect that there are going to be some times when it just won't be possible. But the Lord knows about that. Someone has said that peace is not the absence of trouble, but rather the presence of God in your situation. Because the God of peace, who desires peace, if he is with us in whatever the difficult circumstance is, that is where we will have peace in our hearts and minds. A peaceful disposition is the blessing of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Peace is something that the Spirit of God produces in you and me. But I think that we need to do some cultivating for the fruit to grow. He produces the peace, but we need to cultivate that in our lives for that fruit to grow well. So what do the scriptures say about the production of peace? This will be our third major point, and quickly go through these. And you can meditate on the verses on your own. What do the scriptures say about the production of peace? This is a most blessed verse in Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. How do you cultivate peace in your life? Keep your mind stayed or fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a mind stayed on Christ, and God will keep you in perfect peace. Trust in the Lord, and there will be peace that will be your experience. So that's number one, have a mind stayed on Christ. Number two, abide in Christ. In several verses that Jesus, several things Jesus taught, recorded by John in his gospel, John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We need to abide in Christ. John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, in that ye might have in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, Jesus said. I've spoken to you these things, that in me ye might have Christ. And so to cultivate peace in our lives, we need to abide in him. Listen to what he has said in his word. Keep those things that he has given us to do. So, have a mind stayed on Christ. Number two, abide in Christ. Number three, have your heart ruled by God. Have your heart ruled by God. In Colossians 3, verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Have your heart ruled by God, the God of peace. Number four, have your life submitted to the Lord. Have your life submitted to the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16, the Lord, it says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." And as we submit to the Lord, he will give us his peace by all means. And with his presence with us, the Lord be with you all. So have your life submitted to the Lord. And then lastly, number 5, don't worry. Pray and meditate. Right? The world says, don't worry, be happy. Bible says, don't worry, pray and meditate. We read these verses earlier in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9, where we are told to be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think, that is, meditate on these things. And then those things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. Peace is the rightful possession of the believer in Christ. The unrighteous, the lost who are around us, while they may appear to have peace and may even try and convince you that they are at peace, in reality before the Lord, they are without it. They have no peace. Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." No peace unto the wicked. And that's Isaiah 48:22. And then in Isaiah 57 verse 21, again, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." In a world that is quickly and pervasively turning its back on Jehovah God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the church and the Bible, there is an increasing absence of peace. I don't think any would argue with that. We have wars, we have fights, hatreds, jealousies, and so on between nations and individuals. It's the lot of lost man, of the wicked. What we need is peace. And it will only come as sinners are saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit takes up his residence in the life of such believers. And ultimately, peace will come to our world when the Prince of Peace returns. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes at his second coming to set up his millennial kingdom, to reign and rule there, there will be peace. It will be enforced. Christ will rule with a rod of iron, but it will be a time of peace like the world has never known since the Garden of Eden, it seems to me. So let's do our part. Let peace flow through you to others. Be at peace as much as is possible with others. This is not to say that we compromise our doctrine or the faith, but it has to say, as it is to say, as much as in you is, be at peace with all men. We can and must do our part to cultivate peace in our world, in our day, while also realizing that there will be no true or lasting peace until Jesus comes again. And as the scriptures say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. May God help us to be at peace with all men, because we have peace with God and the peace of God in our life and experience. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning, the opportunity to kind of move through it in various places, to pick up on this theme and topic of peace, how we thank you for the peace that we have with thyself through faith in Jesus Christ and his work that was accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for the reconciliation that we have. And now, Lord, with the presence of the Spirit of God in us and his desire to produce the fruit of the Spirit, part of which is peace, help us to cultivate that peace in our lives and in our experience, in our outworking of life and connection with people around us. We pray that we might be seen as peace-loving and peaceful people. Not that we'll compromise any of your truths, but that we really desire that people would understand your truth, come to a place of peace with you themselves, and that we might then enjoy peace between us and them through faith and in Christ and by the Spirit of God. I pray that you'll take these words this morning and help us to carefully think on them perhaps a little further and be determined to be peaceful people and to engage peacefully with others around us and to encourage peace within this world of ours. As much as we can, as much as it's possible, I pray that we might be at peace with all men. Help us to that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to sing one more time before you go. And it's a little chorus in the hymn book, number 492. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So 492. And with this, we will conclude our service. Y'all know the song? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When the shadows come and darkness falls, he giveth inward peace. Oh, he is the only perfect resting place. He giveth perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Good little chorus. Thank you for being with us in our worship service this morning. I trust that you will have a good rest of the day. May God bless you and keep you at peace in the days ahead. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for time this morning to worship you, to study your word, be in fellowship, either in person or spiritually. We know that we are all still yet connected. I pray that you'll dismiss us now with your blessing. Watch over us until we meet again. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. We are dismissed.